demons come to light, and your mind is not your own. Lonely is the night when there's no one left to call. You feel the time is right, say the writing's on the wall.
This is In the Know for Friday, May 18th, the 138th day of 2018. There are 227 days left in the year. Good morning, MB, guiding you through In the Know at K105. 103.9 The Moose, live online at K105.com and on your Apple and Android smartphone app. Hashtag In the Know. Coming up today, we're going to update you on some of the latest news headlines, get you ready for a busy weekend. There's already sports activity underway this morning that you need to know about. We'll also give you a chance to win Willie Nelson and Allison Krauss tickets and also make you a winner of a prize from Whoop-De-Doo Design on the Square in Litchfield. That and a whole lot more coming up today here on In the Know. Settling into my left, rolling Mach 9 with her hair on fire, is my beautiful wife, the beautiful girl. It's Beej. Good morning, sweetheart.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Are you going to bed early this evening so you can get up early tomorrow?
Absolutely not.
You're not getting up early for all the royal wedding coverage?
There are two things that I'm so ready to be over.
Yeah?
This is one of them.
That's one of them.
Yes.
Huh. Now I'm curious to know what the other is. I'll be anxious to hear.
Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday. Okay. Yeah, I think a lot of people will be ready for Tuesday to come and go as well. So coverage starts at 3 a.m.
Yeah, I know.
But the royal wedding is not actually until 6 a.m. Central Time. So you could just get up at 6, not that much earlier than normal, and no, not interested.
No.
All right, fair enough. Suit yourself. We did learn this morning Prince Charles is going to walk Meghan down the aisle, so that mystery has been solved. Well, everybody was holding their breath waiting to find out. It's Friday. She is the pride of Pumpkin Center, the heiress to the great Minnie Burger fortune. She's Vera Wang's arch nemesis and the professional bargain hunter's woman of the year, Misty Embry Thomas.
Hey,
how's Misty?
I'm okay.
Yeah, cloudy.
It is cloudy.
But Friday.
It is, yeah, so it's like an oxymoron.
Sunny in my soul.
Wasn't it like 90 on Monday?
Yep.
I couldn't wait to get off work today and just go lay by my sister's pool.
Like
you
July.
Know, look at this.
July temperatures. That's the nice thing about having a sister with a pool.
Yeah.
You don't have to look after it.
Isn't that the truth?
Right?
Come on now.
And she can't charge you to use it.
That's what sisters can't do.
You were born Misty Dawn Embry.
I was.
But never adapted a stage name. Never came up with a... With a celebrity
name.
No,
Foxy Brown was taken.
I saw red this morning. It was interesting. So, Jamie Foxx's name was like Eric Bishop.
The best story, right?
Yeah, he picked a gender-neutral name,
yeah.
Jamie Foxx. So, whether they wanted a female comic or a male comic, perhaps they say, oh, I'll take her or take him. But Tom Cruise was born Thomas Mapother the Fourth. M-A-P-O-T-H-E-R the Fourth. Weird name.
So I just heard, do you know why Jamie did that, though?
I thought I heard him say the other day because the...
Well, the first time he did stand-up, he slayed it. And when he went back and put his name on the list, the guys wouldn't call him. So he would go in and he'd be like, Kelly Jones or, you know. So he had all these gender-neutral names. And then one night he wrote down Jamie Foxx. And they would call thinking it was a girl they were calling to stage. He would stand up and they're like, oh, man, it's him.
It's that
like,
guy.
Our content doesn't stand up to his. And that one stuck.
There's a celebrity name in action already this morning. I'm happy to report that Grace Gorby won her first match yesterday, 6-1-6-0, and then advanced to the round of 32. Then yesterday afternoon, she won 6-0-6-0. Mm-hmm. She won in straight sets, straight games, straight sets to advance to the round of 16. So Grace Gorby is playing in the Sweet 16 this morning.
The match began at, this says 9:15, but I believe it's 9:15 Eastern time. So I think she started almost 55 minutes ago. Ooh. So I'll be anxious to see if she can get down to the Elite Eight. That would be exciting and a great way to top off a career as well. There is multiple news media reports today about a lawsuit claiming that Grayson County Superintendent Doug Robinson, Grayson County High School Principal Todd Johnston, did nothing to stop or report sexual relationship between former teacher Gavin Logsdon and a student. Logsdon and the Board of Education are also defendants. It's a suit that was originally filed late last year, but has been recently amended to what I understand is add the victim, because the juvenile is no longer a juvenile, and so the name is out there. And a lot of people in Grayson County commonly know the situation, but it changes the legal status just a little bit. Even though it might have been commonly known what was going on, you still has to have the due process of law and the identity of the juvenile is protected. But I saw this story this morning, saw greater detail with WDRB than anyone else, and had an interview with one of the parents. And I don't know what to, I mean, it's an interesting story. I don't quite know what to make of it. I don't have a strong opinion one way or another, but I will be anxious to see the way that it plays out. But what I do take away from it is that considering this lawsuit pertains to what I will refer to as round one of the recent situations like this, I will be curious to know if we'll see subsequent lawsuits that are brought against. And this is wide-ranging, from superintendent to principal to teacher to school board. And lots of times you'll see these things get settled at some point in time, that you'll see agencies, businesses, whatever, leaders will say it is more cost-effective in the end to settle these than it is to adjudicate them. But if you feel like you perhaps might have to do that times four or times three, or I guess I'd be curious to know what the long-term repercussions are. This lawsuit claims that administrators knew and did not take any or at least sufficient action to remedy the situation when they became aware of it. And there's a lot of he said, she said. The school's made a statement on there, not a broad-ranging statement, but it's out there. And the timing of it is probably most important. The reason that it surfaced again is because the change in status. The lawsuit was amended this week, and in light of the things that have been happening over the last 2 weeks, there will be someone somewhere who kind of went and said to regional media, just say, I'm just going to leave that right there for you to look at. And that's why the story is cycling through. Agree? I didn't go looking for it. Did you go looking for
it? No, I didn't know there was a lawsuit until more regional media had brought it to our attention.
And it's important to note as well, I don't know why I bother to read some of these comments, but I would like to clarify something. If anyone thinks that we derive any joy or pleasure or satisfaction from having to report these stories, you are sadly and grossly mistaken.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There are things I would rather not do than these stories. Absolutely. But this is really high on the list.
Yeah.
I do not like this at all. Wednesday evening, I was having a business dinner in our state's capital. And what do you think the first question I got was? What's going on in Grayson County? So, for the record, in case there's any doubt, there's no enjoyment from any of this being in our position. And I'm also sure a lot of people are in unenviable positions related to these stories. Fair enough? Kentucky's chief election official is predicting the highest voter turnout in nearly a decade for next week's primaries. Democratic Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes said that she expects 30% of the state's 3.3 million registered voters to participate in Tuesday's primary elections. About 32% of Kentuckians voted in the 2010 midterm primaries. She says she believes the electorate is going to get up, get out, and get loud. I believe she's high.
You think so?
I don't think it'll break 32%. It's not it's not juicy enough. I mean, we didn't have a super high turnout. Locally, we might, but across the board, Lexington probably will have a good turnout. They have a Democratic primary for the who's going to run against Andy Barr. The local elections here in Grayson County are not full board. You've got three races that are kind of exciting, and then you've got a few magistrates races that'll pull people, you know, however many family members they can get out and vote and do that stuff. But I don't think this is one of those where people are, oh, I've got to vote on Tuesday. Your people that always vote will vote. But for those people that sometimes do and sometimes don't, I don't think they're super motivated. There's not a congressional race to vote on. There's not a presidential race to vote on. I mean, it's, I don't think it's, maybe it'll break 32%, but I don't know.
I think it might just because people are so politically charged right now over the pension system. I think you'll see a lot of people really say, this was my next opportunity to vote, even if they're not voting on a representative or a senator's race. Okay. They're still motivated to get out and vote and let their voice be heard. And I'm going to believe they're going to check the box just a little bit harder. Engrave the check mark.
They're not going to let that Chad dangle. That's when they punch it through there, it's going to go all the way through.
The aggression's going to come out.
I certainly hope that I'm incorrect on that, that my prediction proves to be wrong. But also I know that as the chief election official in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, this is what Secretary of State Grimes must say. I believe the electorate is going to... She's not going to say, nobody's turning out to vote. She has to be the cheerleader, the standard bearer for getting out and voting. So I would expect her to say that. Just not sure I can go over there and say, I think you're right. I'm saying, I think I'll have to wait and see. That's all. State police are turning to digital experts to track down someone who held up a gun in photos taken while the suspect was behind a trooper in traffic, as well as a photo of a gun taken outside a sheriff's office. Police are also asking for the public's help in determining who posted the photos on a fake Facebook account. Authorities said the first photo appeared on social media in early May, and it showed someone with a gun behind a state trooper. A few days later, someone posted a similar photo taken outside the Laurel County Sheriff's Office. I've seen these photos, and they're sickening for someone who respects and admires law enforcement. I will be curious to know that in the end, no law is broken in doing that. It's ugly, and it's in poor taste. But I'm kind of taken back to the conversation that we had with Park Gentry the other day in getting ready for Art in the Park this weekend. Some person would just would claim, well, that's artistic. That's freedom of expression. Well, express yourself in some other way.
Right.
But it wouldn't hurt to know if someone's willing to come to law enforcement and say, I know who did that. That's information that could perhaps be worthy. Was there an actual crime that was broken, committed? I don't know. Was a law broken? I don't know. Perhaps there's some flimsy law that you can say that, but there's not any law that says you can't put a cruiser, police cruiser and a handgun in the same. It might be helpful to know that that person might be a felon and is not allowed to carry a weapon.
So you don't think somebody's going to be able to prove that that was some type of threat against a police officer?
Oh, I believe you me. It appears to be a threat.
Right.
But from a constitutional standpoint, a defense attorney would sit and say, this is freedom of expression.
Right.
This is artistic. Now, you and I don't consider it art.
Mm-hmm. And I think a prosecuting attorney would say, but in today's climate, we can never be too careful.
But you have to... agreed. But this is where our Constitution cuts both ways. It's good and it's bad all at the same time. A Kentuckian is confirmed as the first female CIA director in our nation's history. Her name is Gina Haspel, and she has been confirmed to lead the Central Intelligence Agency. She's 61 years of age, and she was born in Ashland, Kentucky, attended the University of Kentucky, and graduated from U of L. Must have got thrown out of UK.
Yeah, but I want to know. So Mitch McConnell supports her. Rand Paul does not. I'm interested. There was no detail given as to why one went one way, one went the other way.
That's a good question. Yeah. I don't know.
Because it said that Paul was adamantly against her. But I've not heard. There's been nothing in the news about her that's caught my attention that's negative.
Well, here.
Unless I've missed it.
So you raised a good question. I had already decided, funny that you mentioned that this lady had to have the endorsement of one of those two. She either had to be Rand Paul's pick or she had to be McConnell's pick, because that's how much power they wield in Washington right now, that it has to be that way. Governor Bevin has chosen a new leader for the state's largest government agency. Adam Meyer is the new Secretary of Health and Family Services Cabinet. He oversees a cabinet that has 7,200 employees, more than 400 offices around the state, has an annual budget of $13.5 billion. He replaces Vicki Yates Brown Glisson, who resigned earlier this year to run for Congress. We need to turn her name into like an anagram or
an acronym.
Yeah, an acronym. Yeah, that's
yeah.
Senator Paul was on the floor yesterday screaming about the budget again. You know, when he walks on and starts speaking on the floor, like the other senators go, oh, that guy again. They don't want to hear it. They know he's right, but they don't want to hear it. That's the thing. He has to get them ready. Katina Powell, know that name? Uh-huh. She has been arrested.
Oh.
The self-proclaimed escort queen at the center of the U of L sex scandal. She was arrested yesterday moments after the court told her to vacate her Louisville home for allegedly cashing stolen and forged checks. I really thought the proceeds from that book sale would have her set for life.
She didn't handle that well, did she?
But as it turns out, it didn't make a lot of a difference. Justify got out in Gallup yesterday morning. Didn't work really hard at Pimlico. The track was a little soggy, so they weren't taking any chances. But Justify's getting ready for the Preakness tomorrow in Baltimore. It will be interesting to see. So I saw a picture yesterday of Justify and Bob Baffert alone. And sometimes horses will, you know, when they're not necessarily posing for pictures.
Right.
But they'll be in between, like, nibbling something off the ground, or they're kind of, like, looking around. But this photo was almost as if Justify had posed, neck straight up. You know, like, if horses had a jaw, the jaw would be locked. Baffert is holding the rein. And Baffert is an average-sized man, maybe even above average height. And Justify is so big, he makes Baffert look like a dwarf.
Oh, wow.
And it's just a looming presence. I will be interested to see. Half the field tomorrow will be taking their first shot at Justify. So we have, I think, six new horses in the race tomorrow.
Is so, Justify an abnormally large horse?
Is heavier than normal.
Okay. He's big.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's at least, you know, well, weighs over 100 pounds more than Pharaoh did.
Wowza.
So that's it just has horse. That. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's kind of the linebacker of the horses.
Maybe he should have been named Goliath, right?
So now I'm on Team Justify.
Sure.
Because
you have to be.
It won't be as exciting as Pharaoh if Justify wins the Triple Crown.
Mm-hmm.
But in a world where, back in when we were kids and you had the Triple Crowns that were won, they weren't sitting over here with some horse that was held back saying, I'm going to wait till this horse gets really tired, and then I'm going to upset the Triple Crown bid here. Most of your horses went out there and said, I'm going to plow through the field.
Right.
I think that in today's age, that's why we went so long without a Triple Crown winner, is because they keep throwing fresh horses in those following two races, and we didn't get one. So now I think that if you can get one, it's harder to get, therefore it's better earned.
Right.
So if he can fend off six fresh horses and still win tomorrow and then win in 3 weeks at Belmont, then I'm excited.
Poor horse has to take a Triple Crown win for you to get excited.
Well, no, I don't want a Triple Crown winner every year. That's not going to be any fun.
Exciting.
We went for a 30-year drought and didn't have one. In the final two innings of last night's baseball game at Donnelly Field, the visiting Ohio County Eagles sent 19 men to the plate. Scored 10 times to break open what had been a one-run game, and they went on to defeat the Cougars 13-5. With the loss, the Cougars fall to 9-20 for the season. The Eagles improved to 16-6. In other Grayson County school news, happy to report that Jacob Smith and Grant Mannion have earned Lions Club Service Awards, and Michael Dennis has been awarded a music scholarship to U of L. I mean, poor choice of college, but otherwise, super happy about your scholarship.
Stop.
What? I can say
they're
that.
They're under new leadership.
Well, it still doesn't mean that I like them.
I start back there on Monday.
You do?
I'll get you a shirt.
I thought I was sending you to Liberty University.
I did too, my friend, and then they sent me the bill, and I went, good old U of L for me.
You decided Liberty maybe wasn't so important, your Liberty. And then also in exciting news, the Echo Dots, you know, which we have one here, her name whose name we dare not speak because we don't want to disturb her. But a lot of people use those to control things in their home,
yeah,
including lights.
Mm-hmm.
There's a parrot in Florida who heard his owner
Uh-oh.
Talking to the Echo Dot so much to illuminate the lights and turn the lights off that now the parrot can do it.
I love it. I hope it looks like a disco awesome. Ball when you pass their house because the parrot is on overdrive.
It looks like a dance floor. Lights on and off.
On, off.
Super awesome. We got to get to a break. Jeremy Logsdon is a candidate for county attorney on Tuesday. He'll appear on your ballot, and we'll have a conversation with Jeremy coming up here on In the Know. In the Know is brought to you in part by Whoop-De-Doo Design on the Square in Litchfield, where they are ready for graduation gifts headquarters. If you've got a graduate on your horizon and you need a gift, you can take care of it at Whoop-De-Doo Design. They've got Vera Bradley, Simply Southern, Case Knives, Tervis Tumblers. No matter your price range, they have it. And coming up today, we've got a Simply Southern wristlet that we're going to be giving away later on in the program. That's be in tandem with our Allison Krause Willie Nelson ticket giveaway. You can either give that wristlet to a graduate, you could do that, or you could also take it to the show and use it. At Whoop-De-Doo Design on the Square in Litchfield, where we are celebrating No Dirty Dishes Day. It's also NASCAR Day. Shouldn't NASCAR Day be on a Sunday? I mean, I think it should be. Mm-hmm. And it's also International Museum Day. Have you ever been to a weird museum?
Probably the weirdest I've been, but probably one of the most enjoyable, was the Signs Museum in Cincinnati.
Yep.
It was old signs, and I still want the United Pentecostal sign from Las Vegas because it looked like a Vegas sign.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It lit up and everything.
Jeremy Logsdon is here. Have you ever been to Barney Smith's Toilet Seat Museum?
No, I haven't. Never heard of that one.
Write that down. You're going to want to take the family.
Good morning and welcome back to the program.
Good morning.
I know you've been here at least once, perhaps. You might have been here 12 times. I don't know. I can't remember.
A few times.
Glad you're here. Tuesday going to be a big day for you. Election Day is coming up. You'll be appearing on the ballot. For those folks who don't know Jeremy Logsdon and his candidacy for county attorney, I've heard you say you're a native son of Grayson County. Born here?
That's right. Yeah, I was born and raised here.
About, 5 years ago? You're a young man.
About 1979. I grew up in Clarkson in Litchfield.
Yeah.
Born and raised.
Born and raised. You went, that means you're a Red Hawk?
Red Hawk.
Clarkson Elementary School?
For kindergarten, and then I went over to H.W. Wilkie, just to get the record straight, guys.
Oh, so Red Hawk and Bulldog.
And Bulldog. Mm.
No purple flash in there, though.
No, never That's made okay. it out there. Played some ball out there, but never went to school.
Not everybody can be a Triple Crown winner.
not everybody can. Your parents are known. Who are your parents?
My dad's David Logsdon. He was the director of nursing at the hospital. He retired about a year ago. And my mother was Penny Logsdon. She retired from teaching as well, but she was a Williams from Clarkson. And so when I moved back to Grayson County, that's where I moved.
Back in your Red Hawk and Bulldog days when you were in elementary school, a lot of young men think they want to be firefighters or police officers or they want to be astronauts or whatever. Was there anything other than an attorney you wanted to be at a young age?
Yeah, right off the bat, I wanted to pick up the garbage. I wanted to be a garbage man.
Awesome. Sure. That's
and awesome. I got some friends that are garbage men, and I would still take that job. I've asked to ride on the city garbage truck, but I can't get a straight answer.
Well, you can't get us. Is there some liability issue, perhaps, that you're not qualified?
Do they do job shadowing there?
I'm not sure, but if this doesn't work out, I mean, I would ride the road. I've been all over this county anyway, and so I know at least
you know where
roads.
To go.
Okay, so there comes a point in every young man's life when he has to give up his dream of being a janitation specialist. And has to realize that he has to go get an honest job. And that leads you to what? Immediately to law school?
No, not
What's
at
your
all.
Path? How'd that happen?
Just quickly, sure. I went to Western for my undergraduate. And I majored in English, and I was going to be an English teacher. And then just life kind of happened, and I graduated, and I started working for some different companies trying to find out what I wanted to do. And then the last one I ended up at was I was a manager at a lumber yard in Russellville. And I got a speeding ticket, and it was during the summer, and it was real hot out. And the lumber yard was not a place where we had air conditioning. You didn't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, you had chainsaws and forklifts, and that just wasn't on the budget list. And so one day I went to go pay my speeding ticket, and I saw this guy in the air conditioner wearing a suit, and somebody was paying him to tell him what to do. And I thought this was a pretty good deal.
Okay.
And so that's where I started to figure out to go back to law school. So it took me a few years to get back to law school, and I went to Massachusetts. And once I did, I found that I liked trial law, and I competed in a national competition. We made it to the semifinals, and we shut out Boston College and some other teams. And it just started from there. And after that, I went to prosecutor's offices and then moved back here to Kentucky after graduating.
Has there been, I clearly want to talk about your experience in the Commonwealth Attorney's Office, but also you have had some private practice law that you've done. Do you, what leads you more in the public service direction more than the private practice?
Well, I've always had a kind of combination of the two. I started as a public defender, and then I opened my own shingle here when I moved back to town, and I really enjoyed helping a lot of people. And then I started to have a combination of working as a prosecutor in private, and ultimately ended up, right now, I'm a full-time prosecutor with Commonwealth Attorney's Office, prosecuting felonies for Grayson Breck and Meade, but also I have work with a title company on the side, so we do a lot of business for banks. If you look at your mortgage, my name might be on there. It's a pretty good percentage. We do a lot of numbers. But that path from private to public, sometimes in our occupation, it's kind of blurred. It's just, I just want to help people and, you know, do a good job.
That's pretty common as well. People that are working in public service in various legal aspects, it's standard practice to have a private practice on the side. And I happen to wonder if that's partly because we as taxpayers, or we as governmental agencies, maybe don't allocate what we really need to allocate toward our justice system, because it's hard to probably earn a living with the resources that are set aside for civic service or public service.
Right.
Yes?
Yeah, that's true, especially with the kind of loans you come out of law school with, you go to a private institution. But, you know, I think my favorite thing that I've done, I had a combination. I was working at the Commonwealth Attorney's Office, but also with the city of Clarkson. And it was great to be out there as city attorney, because I got involved right at a time where they needed me. And to me, that was almost, it didn't matter if it was private or public, because I live in Clarkson. To me, it felt like public service. The Kelly Beehive Factory was about to leave town.
Right.
And some solutions need to be found. And I was able to step into that role and work with the mayor out there and some other key people, and we were able to keep that factory here. And that's probably one of the moments I'm most proud of, is to be able to assist with that and help find solutions.
Hard to imagine that new facility not being there, and how close we were to actually it not being there a few years
right.
ago.
Yeah, the county needs it. Clarkson needs it. We all needed it. I'm glad it stayed.
So Grayson County Republican Party, you got involved there at the party level as a county officer?
Yeah, I'd been going for a few years to the Republican Party here, and then I was elected vice chair last year. I had to step down for the election, but during that time, it's a great group of people.
You've been with the Commonwealth Attorney's Office for quite some time, and what do you feel like, for people that don't know, if you say, I work as a prosecutor in the Commonwealth Attorney's Office, what's kind of your stock summary answer for that? What does the Commonwealth Attorney's Office do?
Well, first of all, to seek justice. We try to find justice. Whether that means taking a case to the jury or settling the case, we have so many cases for Grayson, Breck, and Meade that are felonies. And we're talking anything from child support, cattle rustling, up to murder. And I've tried 40-plus cases, and, you know, I've sent away some very, very bad people. And really, we just try to make sure that there's justice out there. And sometimes, most of the time, we try to get it.
So. As an aside, I know there's a shift going on right now to reclassify some current felonies to misdemeanors as it pertains specifically to maybe things like child support or theft by unlawful or things like that. Are you in support of that, or do you feel like our limits are really where they should be?
Well, I think the limits are pretty sound. At this point, the legislature is trying to get people out of prison and jail. which benefits the budget, but it doesn't benefit us out here in the county. It doesn't benefit the people whose homes keep getting broken into and the drug problem that continues on. We need, there are some people that cannot be in society, and we need to keep them out of it if they cannot be rehabilitated. But unfortunately, these crimes and these limits, you just have to figure it out as you go along, and apparently that's what the legislator's doing.
You talked about the importance of your time serving as counsel for Clarkson City Commission and for the city of Clarkson. That was a career highlight. In the courtroom or in the Commonwealth Attorney's Office, do you have any other career highlights that you think should be important to voters?
You know, I think I don't want to talk about any specific cases too closely, but one stands out. I had a case where a gentleman, it was involving a priest out of Meade County, and the victim was a child, and he ended up having a good life and becoming an engineer in Texas. But he came out about 14 years ago and said he was abused, and it could not get it prosecuted under a prior Commonwealth Attorney's Office. And we took it up, and we took it to trial, and despite all of the critics and all the people that said we couldn't get it done, we did. And we went up against some big names who had been former lieutenant governors and everybody else, and we got justice done for that man. Mm-hmm. And it, to me, that was the highlight, is to be able to see justice in a small package like that. A lot of work, and it comes out the right way.
Great to hear. Why the Grayson County Attorney's Office? What is it about Grayson County? What is it about the Attorney's Office that's attractive to you and caused you to seek it?
Okay. Grayson County, I love Grayson County. I was born and raised here. It's my home. I don't have to be here, but I came back here because I love it. I love the people here. They're good people. And I'm not just pandering. Seriously, you guys know who you are. I got friends and family out there. And even if I get elected and get in the office, if I start treating people not like I should, then they're going to hear about it. And I don't want that to happen.
Right.
But Grayson County deserves an amazing county government. And it deserves an amazing physical court. And there are some improvements that I would like to see happen. And that's why I'm running for Grayson County Attorney.
Is there any significance to why now? I mean, you just talked about some of the things you've done professionally. You've talked about your age. You still have a lot of years in your career left ahead of you. Is there anything important about the timeline that's worthy of knowing?
Well, there's a couple of things. One is personal, and that's that I have a new family. I have a stepdaughter named Kai who's 10. I have a little boy that's about to turn 1 this next month. That family has changed my life, and I feel like it's time to start giving back here in Grayson County. As far as the time for Grayson County, that's not personal, that is we are on the precipice of a very important time. It's an exciting time to be here in Grayson County. There are some improvements that are already occurring that I'd like to be a part of the physical court. I'd like to look around to the counties in Kentucky and find out what they're doing. I want to know the new things that are happening in the other 119 counties, and I want to grow Grayson County in a responsible way. And also, I believe it's just time to open up the office and make it more open for everyone, and I just believe now's the time to improve it.
What are some of the similarities between the Commonwealth Attorney's Office and the county attorney's office, and also any dissimilarities that you think are of note?
Well, with the Commonwealth Attorney's Office, we're dealing with a lot of numbers, and basically all we do is prosecute felonies. That's all we do. We try cases, we settle cases, we research, we battle. We pretty much battle all the time. With the county attorney's office, it's a little bit different setup. You have a prosecutorial part of that, which is prosecuting misdemeanors, speeding tickets, but you also have the physical court advising them and the magistrates about how to get good things done. And also here, traditionally, the Grayson County Attorney's Office has been the first point for people who probably never hired a private attorney to try to figure out, to kind of unbind their legal questions. And so we want to be that point. We want to be user-friendly and open for everyone so that when you come there, at least you know that you've been respected, and hopefully we've helped you.
Are there any misconceptions that you perceive about the county attorney's office? People expect it to do something or think it can do something that it cannot, or things it can do that people don't know that it can do?
Well, there's a lot of things that the county attorney's office does, like guardianships, you know, to protect over an older person or someone in your family or friend that you need help with. One of the things I want to talk about is Casey's Law. That's a big issue here. There's something that the county attorney's office offers. If you have someone that is a family member or a friend that has a drug problem and they need immediate help, then you can file a petition to put them into rehab against their will to try to save their life in some circumstances. And that's called the Casey Law, and there's a petition for that. And the county attorney's office is where that starts. That's just one small thing. But there's many facets to the Grayson County Attorney's Office. And so, really, it's helping guiding people. And I'd like to make sure that people know there's a lot of services there that are offered. Now, many times the misconception is the county attorney's office, well, you're my attorney. And that's not true. You know, there's about a dozen private attorneys in this area that can help you with a lot of needs. You know, there's only certain things set out by the county and the state that the county attorney's office can help you with. And so many times people come in and say, well, I thought since you're the county attorney, you're my attorney. And that's just not true. It's a common misconception.
One of the things we try and do here is clear up confusion. And you just mentioned one of the myths. You know, people think, well, if you're the county attorney, that means you're my attorney because I'm a taxpayer. And you're representing the county as a whole. And you're an advocate for specific situations. But are there also any untruths or rumors or any myths that are being told in this campaign that are worthy of clearing up now?
Well, I heard early on, and I haven't heard much. This has been a pretty clean campaign. I've been pretty happy with it. Early on, I heard that if I'm elected, if Jeremy Loxton's elected, then he's going to get rid of everybody in office, everybody that works in the staff over there. And that's certainly not true. You know, you need good people in there, and I want to keep good people in there. Now, there are some people I want to bring in on my team to make sure that the citizens of Grayson County get their money's worth and get what they deserve. But it's absolutely not true. I'm not going to clear house. I know there's good people that work in that county attorney's office now, and I'd like to incorporate them with my team.
We are quickly running out of time. There will be a vote. There will be a person who has to cast a vote in the Republican primary on Tuesday, and this is a question that they would ask. How is a vote for you an upgrade? Because anytime I vote, I want to improve my position. How would you answer that question? Why are you an upgrade?
I'm an upgrade because I was born and raised here, and I feel like I have an investment in the people here that it's time to improve, and I believe that I can do that with the ideas and changes that I have. And so I'd hope you give me a chance to help bring Grayson County forward.
Very good. Now, the final thing before you go. I hear you say, it's a popular thing, drug problem, drug problem, drug problem. We've got a drug problem. Everybody knows we have a drug problem. And in your commercials, I hear you say, vast professional experience to try and tackle. Are there specific, do you have a specific plan in mind? I'll understand if you don't want to fully share it, but do you have a plan?
Oh, absolutely. Those words, drug problem, are easy to use, especially for politicians in this campaign. I have a lot of experience in this. My changes are very specific. In the county attorney's office, I want to try to get the 18 to 25-year-olds turned around before it's too late. At that point, their brain has not changed enough for them not to be turned around. Now, I'm not giving up on anybody over 25, but my target audience are those young people who are first coming into the court. And if we can turn them around then, it's less likely they become career criminals. Because drugs lead to theft, it turns into breaking into places, it turns into other crimes. So my goal would be to do that. There's some things going on in the district court now that need to change, and I think that I have a formula that I've seen work in the Commonwealth Attorney's Office, a combination of jail, intensive rehab, or drug court programs that can help turn these young people around. That's my only goal.
30 seconds to court voters.
30 seconds to court voters. Go now?
Yes, go now.
Okay. I would just appreciate your vote. You know, I hope that you've asked around about me. My reputation, I believe, is an honest person. I work hard, and I've got lots of good ideas. I can't wait to hit the ground running on January 1st, 2019. Thank you all very much. Appreciate your vote.
Thanks for coming in. Good luck on Tuesday. I know you'll be happy to on Tuesday night to know how it's going to turn out.
Right? Oh, yes. I'll be tuned in to K105.
Jeremy Longston, candidate for Grayson County Attorney, appearing on your ballot on Tuesday in the Republican primary. We've got to get to a break. Be back with more here on In the Know.
Don't you worry about it.
Did you know it would take 225 million years to walk a light year? So when you think about the speed of light and the speed in which a human walks, that's quite a contrast.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, no?
I do.
All right, so here's what we're going to do today. We've got a major piece of our studio here who has decided it needs to take an update during our show.
It happens.
Why couldn't you do this at noon? It's making me mad.
Sorry.
So therefore, we're unable to screen phones. So I'm going to change it up a little bit. Up for grabs is a Simply Southern wristlet from Whoop-Dee-Doo Design on the Square in Litchfield. And two tickets to see Willie Nelson and family. And Allison Krauss at the Yum Center on Wednesday.
Tickets will fit in your wristlet.
That's exactly right. You won't lose them because they'll be in there. So here's what you're going to do is you're going to text the best answer that you have to 270-259-6000. Text 270-259-6000. What little white lie do you tell your children that is funny?
Oh, you lost me at funny.
What? No, what? But
yeah,
what,
me too.
What
yeah,
would,
but it's funny.
No, what would we find funny, though? So, for instance, I don't know where your candy went.
Yeah.
I ate your Reese's peanut butter cups. That's what I'm telling you. They don't make batteries for that toy anymore. No, sorry. The ice cream man plays music when he's out of ice cream. That's how everybody knows not to come to the ice cream truck is because he's playing the music. It's grape juice for adults. You'll understand when you're older.
Mm-hmm.
No, really, you won't. So the best answer, 270-259-6000. Over the next few minutes, the one that makes us at least laugh or something. Ooh, nice.
I love that one.
We've got a leader in the clubhouse already.
I can't see it.
You've got to get the app.
I know, I do.
That's good. Misty, are you getting up early?
Yeah, I'm giving those out all day long.
We have a leader in the clubhouse. So. are you getting up early to watch any of the royal wedding?
I'm getting up early to go see the high school track team perform or compete at state tomorrow. So
okay.
Bus leaves at 5 a.m.
Is that in Lexington?
It is in Lexington.
You can stream it, I guess, on your phone, the wedding coverage.
Yes, yes.
So I will tell you that I did set the DVR for 3 a.m. to record.
Is that when it starts?
Coverage starts at 3 a.m. Central Time.
Ew.
The wedding is at 6 o'clock Central Time. So is there anything you want to know about the wedding that you don't know? Because I have the answers.
Oh, my gosh. Remind me how much they're spending on the toast.
Ooh, that's good, too. Sorry.
The toast. Have you heard this?
Well, no, not on the toast. I know on the reception they were spending $686,000.
Let me tell you about the toast. $195,000.
Just for the champagne?
For the champagne.
Well,
the toast.
Here's the other thing.
What's
I heard
it made of?
Out of
unicorn
the
breath?
Out of the yes, out of the $686,000, that didn't include most of the alcohol because the wine they're serving are coming from royal family stores. You know, so they have cellars and cellars of wine that are in barrels. So they don't have to buy that; they already have it.
Oh,
that's why I thought only $686,000. I thought it would have been a whole lot more than that.
Yeah, when a toast is. $195,000.
Yes, that's exactly
good
right.
Grief.
So, anyway, it'll all be over come Sunday.
Yay.
With the royal wedding. And Election Day will be over come Wednesday morning. It'll be all over but the crying. On multiple counts. We got to get to a break. We'll come back and finish it up for the morning here on In the Know.
Just why? Don't believe me.
MB's point to ponder for today was, what are those white lies you tell your kids that are, whatever. I'll tell you, get some finalists. Me and your daddy are doing some paperwork.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
That's good, yeah.
Right? I did like the scrubbers, the pipe, the smokestack things, that they create clouds.
Yep.
Oh, that was pretty clever. But the winner is going to be of the tickets to see Willie Nelson and Alison Krauss. And the Simply Southern wristlet from Whoop-De-Doo Design is that when the kids are mad, you serve them sad meals instead of happy meals. As a way to get their attention.
That's
you get a
solid.
Sad meal, not a happy meal.
No but, toy for you.
Yeah, so what is a sad meal?
I'd like to.
Like three nuggets instead of four? You don't get the toy for sure.
What's the...
And you get milk
the
instead of a juice. A white milk, no chocolate for you.
Yeah, one of those prepackaged meal things that have a PB&J in them, and then slap a frowny face on it.
Yeah. And say, apples here, and no fries.
You eat that.
Yeah.
Right. You get broccoli.
Yes.
And peas.
That's great.
Peas and carrots in your sad meal.
Yeah, it's good. Do we know the first name of the person that was?
Was it Kendra?
I think so.
Yeah. Kendra?
Solid Kendra.
All right, Kendra, keep serving those sad meals.
Good for you.
That's good. I forgot to tell you the movie theaters today. Deadpool 2 is out. Book Club, Show Dogs, First Reformed, On Chesil Beach, and Pope Francis are out. On TV this weekend, I don't know if you have heard, there's a royal wedding.
Ugh, that's
going
six in the morning.
On. Yeah. Ryan Seacrest is on Kimmel tonight. Sterling K. Brown is on Fallon. Benedict Cumberbatch is on Colbert. Winnipeg and Vegas are playing hockey tonight. I guess that's probably... It could be on NBC, but it could be on NBCSN. You'll have to check your local listings. The Tina Fey will be hosting the season finale of SNL with Nicki Minaj. Nicki Minaj is the musical guest. She's not the co-host with Tina Fey. Gotcha. The NBA playoffs, Boston and Cleveland, continue tomorrow. And then Washington and Tampa Bay in the NHL. The 2018 Billboard Music Awards are Sunday, and that will be on NBC. WNBC. WNBC. No chart toppers today. Just going to go ahead and tell you. Sorry.
I offered.
Today's highlight in history. This day, I mean, you may get to sing some of them. I'm saying I can't do playback of chart toppers. Mm-hmm. This date in 1953, Jacqueline Cochran, at age 47, became the first woman to break the sound barrier as she piloted a Canada Air F-86 Sabre jet over Rogers Dry Lake, California. In 1652, Rhode Island became the first American colony to pass a law abolishing African slavery. However, the law was apparently never enforced. In 1933, President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed a measure creating the Tennessee Valley Authority. Mount St. Helens volcano erupted in Washington State this date in 1980. Left 57 people dead or missing. Birthdays today. Baseball Hall of Famer Brooks Robinson is 81. Baseball Hall of Famer Reggie Jackson is 72. My favorite baseball player when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I named a cat Reggie.
Did you?
Yes.
Is that the one in the Frisbee?
Nope. No, I wouldn't put Reggie in a Frisbee. No. I did that to my sister's cat.
Poor cat.
George Strait is 66 today. Martika is 49. Tina Fey is 48.
Oh, wow.
She's going to be hosting Saturday Night Live tomorrow. It's her birthday's today. Jack Johnson is 43. Gone but not forgotten. Frank Capra, born this date in 1897. We have Frank Capra to thank for It's a Wonderful Life. Perry Como, born in 1912. Pope John Paul II, born in 1920. Pernell Roberts, born in 1928. Pernell Roberts played Adam on Bonanza and then went on to play Trapper John M.D., you'd know him if you saw him.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Chart toppers today. Webb Pierce in the Jailhouse Now was born in 1955.
I got nothing for you.
I had
that
a
one.
Really good joke for that one, too. Can't play it. 1964, Ronnie by the Four Seasons, number one. Not one of the better Four Seasons songs.
Yeah.
Stevie Wonder from 73, You Are the Sunshine of My Life.
No wonder the computer shut down. It didn't even want to play those.
1982, Tommy Two Tone, 867-5309.
Oh. Jenny, so that one I can
see. Jenny, where do I run to? Also in 82, Willie Nelson, number one, Always on My Mind.
Yeah.
Maybe I.
Willie. 1991, on his birthday, George Strait was celebrating a number one song called If I Know Me. Hmm. The Thong Song was number one 18 years ago today, Cisco. And Jamie Foxx. See, I brought it full circle.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah, I threw Jamie Foxx out of the box. Mm-hmm. And Jamie Foxx was number one this date in 2009 with Blame It. I would like to have a mashup of Jamie Foxx, T-Pain, Blame It, and the Barney song, Lemon Drops and Gumdrops.
Oh, wow. Oh,
right? Because standing outside with my mouth open wide, alcohol. See, it's the same sound, is it not?
This is why the computer refused to work.
This is why we need the computer to work, because you get more of me.
You're going to need less of that.
Chart-toppers. Exactly. It's just supposed to be for seasoning.
That's right. A little bit goes a long, long way.
That's exactly right. Anything before we go that the world needs to know about from the two of you?
I don't think so.
I'm good.
No.
All right. MB's Pearl of Wisdom for today. Logic will take you from A to B. Imagination will take you anywhere. Logic will take you from A to B. Imagination will take you anywhere. MB's Pearl of Wisdom for today. Look forward to seeing you back here on Monday for another edition of our show. For Misty Thomas, for Beej, I'm MB, and now you're in the know.